We want to open to the book of Ephesians. As we have began last week, we began a series of sermons on the triune God. And we will be going through this doctrine for several weeks. But I want to read in Ephesians this great praise song. We've praised the Lord a while ago in several songs. Paul here writes one long sentence. There are no periods for a long, long time. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin just reading a few of the verses to begin with. I want to read verses 2 through 4 at first. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world so that we'd be holy and blameless in His sight in love. And then verse 13, these verses have shown the Father and the Son. And here we see the Holy Spirit in verse 13. And you also speaking to us, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. And that seal is the promised Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, thank you for being our Papa, our Father, our Abba. Thank you that we are joined to you and we are one in you. Father, we ask that you would inspire through your Holy Spirit that who you are would be preached, and that you would give us the empowerment to live in your presence as to who you are. And we ask this for the one who made it all possible, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is your God? Think about that. Who is your God? You say, God. You know, right? You can't go wrong with that answer. Who is your God? It's God. But who is God to you? What is your vision of God? As I said last week, what flirts through your mind when you hear the word God? You say, well, why is that important? Because we need to know who He is. We know our family members, don't we? We know our father, our mothers, our sisters and brothers. But we are called into the family of God. Do you know who He is? John 17 and verse 3, as we read last week, Jesus said, now this is eternal life, to know God and to know His the only true God. This is the true God. There is no other God. Allah is not God. The God that the Jews believe in, that is not God. They believe in what they call Unitarianism. That is, there's just one. But they don't understand that in that one is a plurality of three. Do you know who He is? And He says, this is eternal life, that you may know the Son and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, that they may know you. No, not just in abstract terms, but in personal terms. This is my God. This is who I worship. Who do you worship? Do you worship the true God? Today, I have a simple message for you. We sang it. The Lord is our salvation. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is our salvation. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three work together in concert as if it were some grand symphony of love for our salvation. God is our salvation. And without the Father, and without the Son, and without the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. Did you realize that? Think about it for a moment. What are the two sacraments of the church ordained by God? Baptism. Thank you. Baptism. And what is the second one? Communion or the Lord's Supper. Do you realize that each are triune, three in one? Baptism, the sacrament of baptism, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, what did he say? Go, right, into all the world and make disciples. And that's it. You're a disciple, you believe, that's it. No, he said, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are signs. You know what the sign is? It's your ID. Who are you? See, you don't know who you are until you know who God is. Who are you? You're a son of God. And who is that God? He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are identified. Your ID is not your passport, not your driver's license, not your school card. It is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is a sign of who you are. You have His name. And what's His name? It's not just God. Now, I know what you mean. I know what I mean when I say God. But what do you mean when you say God? When you say God, do you mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The goal of this whole series is that we may know Him, that we may enjoy Him, that we may know who we are. John Calvin said, you don't know who you are until you know who God is. For God is our Creator, right? And He's our Redeemer. Do you know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's a sign and seal of who you are. And the Holy Spirit seals us. Just like in olden days, to mail something today, and you want a return receipt certified mail, right? And that certificate tells, it's a guarantee of who you are. All the promises of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are ours in a seal of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a seal of who you are. In olden days, they would take something like wax, red wax, and the king would put his ring, his signet ring, in that and seal the envelope with that. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings to you all that the Father is and all that the Son is. This is a spiritual thing. That's why it has to be the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father and the Son who comes to us and seals us. I'm going to get more into that in a moment. A baptism and then the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is also triune. And I'm going to wait until we go at the end of the service and have the Lord's Supper and show you that it is a sign and seal of the work of salvation by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I just focus on the Son. He died for us, but it's a triune thing. I'm going to show you that as we go along. For salvation is the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now you say, how does this work together? I don't understand that. I don't either. I am not called to understand it. I'm called to believe it. And I am called to preach it. I am called to live it. And I'm called to worship God. Let me give you some of the parameters in understanding the Trinity. This will be a review for most of us, but let's go through that again, because repetition is a great form of teaching. I would do it this way, from St. Augustine, how he put it. I didn't give you this last week. St. Augustine said this in the definition of God. It says, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and each of these by himself is God. The Holy Spirit's God. The Son is God and the Father is God. And at the same time, they are all one God. The Father is not the Son, nor the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, nor the Son. But the Father is only Father. The Son is only Son. And the Holy Spirit is only Holy Spirit. This is a mystery. You say, well, I just can't get around in my head. Just worship. There's a whole lot of things I don't understand and a whole lot of things you don't understand. Right? I don't understand, for instance, how in what they call quantum physics, right? Quantum mechanics, how they can see in a microscope. How many of you take physics? Right? You've probably heard of these things. They can go under microscopes, greater microscopes than we have ever seen, and see electrons, how they move, and how they don't go in a straight line, that they go in waves. I don't understand that. I don't understand about time and relativity, how that they say if I got into a spaceship and I was traveling at 186,000 miles per second, right? And I got a twin brother born on the same day, so forth. I take off, I'm gone 10 years and come back. I'm 5 years younger than he is. They've been able to prove this under atomic microscopes. I don't understand that. It doesn't seem logical to me. And logic has to do with analogy. We have no analogy in this realm to compare. We have no analogy in our spectrum to understand God. But that does not mean it's not true. Right? Little Peavy, that little baby out there, he doesn't understand a lot of things. I don't understand why daddy did that. I don't understand where my... Hey, but it's true. It's true. Even though we don't understand it. Now, I just dropped something. I'll find it later. Perhaps it was not necessary. I can't see. Thank you. All right. Now, let's go on. James Montgomery Boyce, who was a pastor, who's now passed away, he had a beautiful analogy of the work of God that I'm going to, and how the Holy Spirit works, that I'm going to get to in a moment. He called it like a symphony in three movements. How many of you ever been to a symphony? And you have these different movements. Maybe you went to see hear the Messiah. And you have, they call it a concert, because every movement is in concert, that means in harmony with, by plan, with the other movement. In other words, you heard the first movement, then you come to the second movement and say, well, what's that all about? No, it relates to, it's in harmony with the first. And then the third is in harmony with the first and the second. But it's in different movements. He compared salvation to God's triune work of love, his symphony of love, and in saving his people. When you analyze Ephesians 1, you see that Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul praises the Father. That's the first movement. In verses 7 through 12, you see he praises the work of the Son. And in 13 through 14, the work of the Holy Spirit. And all three are at work in one symphony of love to save us. For our God is creator and redeemer. The Trinity is not something abstract. It is the work of God in the lives of his people. Salvation could be considered that the Father is the conductor. He is the originator of the symphony. And I have my baton up here that fell on the floor a while ago. And he's in charge of the first movement. And not just the first movement, but the second and the third. When he waves his baton, it begins. You know, right? You see the conductor comes out, you know, and then he does this, right? And then he says, right? Or some movement, and then he begins. The Father began this symphony of love, this work of salvation. And he's credited as being the one who has written this great symphony, and the one who begins the first movement and works through all three movements. In chapter 1, 3 through 6, the Father is the originator, and he initiates this love song, this love symphony. Let's read portions of this. Praise be to the God and Father. He's speaking of the Father of the Trinity, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Now notice the harmony in Christ. Christ is the second movement, but written into the first movement for continuity's sake is Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him. Notice this harmony. Before the creation of the world. To be holy and blameless in his sight. In love. This is a symphony of love of his salvation. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In the one he loves. Again, this first movement brings in Jesus as well. Here from eternity to eternity, it is the Father's work. This is the work not of Mozart or Mendelssohn. It is the work of God the Father. But in that work, it's all centered in Jesus, the second movement. Now we go on to the second movement in the concert. And in this movement, and I imagine like you're at a concert and he's going along and then he points here or he points there. And he does this, right? He's like, come on, come on. bring that cello up, you know. Bring that violin up. And then he tells the woodwinds, he does this. Now y'all kind of fade. All right, y'all seen that, right? Some of you are musicians. You've experienced that. He's just saying, okay, y'all kind of fade. Now the Father kind of fades, but he's still there. He's still conducting, right? He conducts his own movement, the second movement, and the third. Now let's go into the second movement. And the second movement in harmony is Jesus Christ. The salvation of love originated with the Father, and it is located in the Son. In verse 5 and 6, let's read here in the second movement. In fact, let's go to 7 now. In him, speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Jesus, in his movement, his work in the Trinity, he is the one who comes and procures and accomplishes our salvation. The Father originates it. Jesus comes and accomplishes it. He comes and procures it. He buys us with his own blood. And this is the second movement in this great symphony of redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood. Wow. The forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now notice, he brings into the second movement, the first part of the first movement, because we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing and lavished with his grace, the Father's grace, in accordance with the riches of God. When he says God, he's speaking of the Father. Of God's grace, the Father's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Which he purposed in Christ from the beginning and throughout eternity in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, and to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That Christ, the Father sends him. The Father says, now come on, I'm sending you. Because the Father so loved the world, as we talked about in John 3:16. He so loved you. He so loved me. He so loved us that he sent his Son. The Father is the great conductor, and he says, now, son, go. Come on, son. Bring up your instruments. Bring up your love. And I want you to go and express your love. You see, he is creator, and he did not need us to love. What the Father is sharing in this great symphony is the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From all eternity, the Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father, and the Holy Spirit loved the Father and the Son. And the overflow of their love is poured out on us by the Holy Spirit, which brings us to the third movement, the third member of the Godhead, of the God who saves. This is not to describe three in one. Paul is simply telling us what they do. So we come to the third movement. And in the third movement, of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit, I want to begin in verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked. We talked about a seal and a sign. The sign is God marking you as His, baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's your ID, the triune God. Having believed, guess how you believe? By the work of the Holy Spirit. See, the Father works for our salvation so we don't have to. You know that? Because you couldn't anyway. Only God can save us. Only God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, save us. It talks here in the first and second movements about the grace of God that He lavishes on us. If you do not believe in the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, there is no grace. It is no grace. The Father lavishes the grace. The Son purchased that grace to be lavished. And the Holy Spirit comes in and seals the deal. He signs and seals. Notice, he goes on to say here, having believed, He gives us the faith. The Holy Spirit gives us the faith to believe. You were marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. The Father sends the Holy Spirit, and the Son sends the Holy Spirit. The Father and Son loved each other from all eternity. And the Holy Spirit brings that love into our hearts, as we'll see during the communion today. Brings that love that the Father had for the Son, and the Son had for the Father, and the Holy Spirit had for them both. This is a movement back and forth. This is the glorious love of God. Let's continue on with this third movement. Who is a deposit on our inheritance. You know, when you make a deposit, it's a little bit different on a deposit that you may be used to. When it talks about a deposit being made here, it is also a part of the payment. It is the first installment that is in mind here. It's not just, okay, here's the deposit and you'll get it. You'll get something later. No, this deposit of the Holy Spirit, bringing all that the Father and the Son is for us in Christ, it is something we enjoy now. We don't have to wait till Jesus comes back. This deposit, He's living in us, bringing the Father sent Him, the Holy Spirit sent Him, and He's bringing that love of the Father and the Spirit to us, and we enjoy it now. The fullness will come later, but it's not just a deposit that's earnest money locked away somewhere. It's not an escrow, folks. It is in our lives now. We enjoy Him as we come to know Him, as we come to dwell with Him. Excuse me a moment for a little sip. This is just, it excites me. It inspires me. It encourages me to know who our God is and to know what He is at work doing, that He has planned this for you before eternity, before time began, before He created anything. And He sent Jesus just for you and the whole body. But you got to take it personally. He sent Him for me. He planned this for me so that I might be a vessel of His love for others and to share the knowledge of God, the true God, with others. Let's go on. Chapter 1 and in verse 14. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Notice, you are marked, you are sealed, you are God's possession to the praise of His glory. We talk about glorifying God, and we do not glorify Him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I've said, it makes all the difference in the world, because without the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. You take one movement out of this symphony, it is not that symphony of love. Can you imagine just the Father? And we're left in our sins? Right? Those sins, the Son. If you imagine just, you know, the Father and the Son without the Holy Spirit, These are spiritual blessings we're talking about. How are they going to be communicated to us unless by the Spirit of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, coming into our lives to quicken us, to make us spiritually alive, give us the power to believe and to experience the living God. It takes three. He is three in one. There's a creed called the, I can't even pronounce it. I have to read it. I have trouble pronouncing. There were several creeds. We talked about the Apostles' Creed. You heard of the Nicene Creed. But there was another creed. And it was called the help me here, somebody. Help me, Lord. I can't pronounce it. Athanasian Creed. I don't know why I have difficulty saying Athanasian. I should have said it over and over again before the sermon. But in that creed, it also affirms the triune God, but something else very important. And it goes like this. There is one person of the Father and of the Son and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. They've always existed. And yet, there are not three eternals, but one eternal. This is the doctrine. But the Athanasian Creed goes on to explain why this matters. And it goes like this. He, therefore, that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Now, that's pretty strong. I'll say it again. He, therefore, that will be saved must think of the Trinity. The message of salvation by grace depends upon the threefold work of the triune God. There is no salvation without that doctrine. Because many have wondered, why is it so important? You must think of God that way. That is who the Lord our God is. And one of the purposes of this series of sermons is to get us to think on God. For what you behold, you become. I'm not saying you're going to become God, but you're going to be conformed into the image of God. Moses saw the mercy of God, a part of God's glory on the mountain. And he came back after beholding that. What was he doing when he came back? How did he look? He was glowing. He was glowing. The more you behold the Lord, we sing songs, I see the Lord seated on a throne. You know, all of this. But do we really stop and think about him? Does he fill our thoughts day in and day out? What is your vision of God? I've preached enough, and I want us to listen a little bit about that vision. And I'm going to come back and say a few more words, but I need to take a break. A planned break, okay? I want you to listen to a song entitled, and I hope we have the words to put up, do we? Great. Be Thou My Vision. It is an old Irish hymn. And it is very, very poignant. Let this music touch your heart with the words that I have preached to you, because the end result, we want God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be our vision. I will return in a moment. Amen. Father, as we bring this service to a close, we say amen to your word. We say amen, so be it, to who you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we recognize that we are weak. We confess that we don't always see you as you are. But I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you. That you might fill us through your Holy Spirit to see you, to meditate upon you, to just dwell in your presence and abide before you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come before God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and receive of His blessing through the Lord's Supper, through communion with Him, with communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of this in Jesus Christ. Let us turn to Romans 5 and see the triune work of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in His symphony of love. For this is a meal of love. It is, in a sense, a love feast of God, where we are feasting on Him. In Romans chapter 5, he says here, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts." By whom? By the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're able to experience the love of God that led to the body and blood of Jesus for us through the Holy Spirit. This is not literal flesh, and this is not literal blood, but by and through the Holy Spirit, we experience the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It too is a mystery, but it is the truth. And for us to experience the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, it means that the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts, as Romans 8 tells us, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." It is not just the love of God. It is God dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit, that we experience His love, even in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life, to know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That second movement of this symphony of love, Jesus procuring and accomplishing our salvation. The Father sent Him to do that. He died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, now we see the Father. But God, the Father, demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, that is, in Christ, we are made right, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know what reconciliation means? That which was separated is now brought together. When we were separated from God, He has brought us reconciled into His family. Not that we are God or ever be God, but we are children of God, signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, our guarantee of salvation. We've been brought into this loving family Someone mentioned last week, after preaching about the love of God, how we get the overflow of that. It's not like we're getting seconds. we are getting the love of God. And the person said, remember that song that says that how your love is intoxicating? and how we are moving to the rhythm of God's love? We ought to live in the rhythm of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. All made possible from eternity past, He chose us in Christ that we might be holy and blameless. As we eat the bread, the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, and drink of the wine, the blood of Christ that cleanses us, realize that the goal was that we be one with God. The goal that we be part of His family. And that vision of who you are now, you're no longer slaves, but heirs of God. We cry, Abba, Father, that vision of being with Him, that He be our first thought by day or by night, that we live in the love of God, in this great symphony of love. It is so deep, it is so wide, that we can't understand it, comprehend it, but we're to enjoy Him and glorify Him forever and ever. For we have a great God. He is so great. You know, we sang that song, How Great Thou Art. We only see through a glass darkly. But that which He lets us see and experience through the Holy Spirit is wonderful. It is fantastic. So, Father, we thank You for making us a part of Your family and inviting us to this family meal as we drink and as we eat of the bread and drink. Oh, Father, let us experience Your love that was demonstrated in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would enable us, enlighten our eyes to see how deep and how great this love is and how great You are, and to enjoy You and to worship You with all of our mind, heart, and soul, and being. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.